Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. As always, head over to reallifepharmacology.com. Check out the free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. A great little resource for students and practicing healthcare professionals alike. I've put in my most important clinical pearls for the top 200 drugs. So definitely go check that out. Take advantage of that for free, and we get you updates when we've got new podcasts and content available. All right, so let's talk about the drug of the day today. I am going to talk about cyclosporine. And if you remember in the previous few weeks there, I did talk about tacrolimus. So a lot of the information is going to be overlapping. They are from the same classification. They are both considered calcineurin inhibitors, and of course immunosuppressives there as well. But there are a few differences that I wanted to point out, one particularly with regard to dosage form. So cyclosporine has some really, really important warnings regarding experienced physicians, and especially if we're considering changing from one dosage form to another, they are generally not considered interchangeable, and you could run the risk, depending upon which one you're switching to, run the risk of toxicity or potentially subtherapeutic dosing. So common brand names that I've heard used with the use of cyclosporine: Gengraf, Neoral, Sandimmune. And again, remember, calcineurin inhibitors really work on that adaptive immunity side of things and inhibit the activation of T lymphocytes. And I went into a little bit more detail under the tacrolimus section, so if you want to go back and listen to that podcast, I talk a little bit more in depth about the mechanism of action. But I'm not gonna cover that today. I'm gonna spend some time on some other things here. So again, suppressing that immune system is going to be critical in patients who are using cyclosporine for transplant rejection prevention, for example. But there are a couple of other uses that I have seen in clinical practice. Pretty rare, and cyclosporine is a pretty down-the-line option, reserved generally for more severe refractory patients. But you might occasionally see a drug like cyclosporine used for autoimmune diseases, where again we potentially try to suppress the immune system to a certain extent to relieve symptoms of their disease, but obviously not try to suppress it too much to where we greatly increase the risk for infection and or malignancy. So a few of those autoimmune diseases: rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, ulcerative colitis. Cyclosporine can potentially have some benefit there, but we certainly have a lot of potential for risk as well when we talk about things like infection. So there is that boxed warning for infection with cyclosporine, just like tacrolimus. There's also a boxed warning saying that an experienced physician should be prescribing cyclosporine. Okay, so again, very, very important to recognize that this is a high risk, potentially high reward medication. Adverse effect profile, similar to tacrolimus. Hypertension, that's going to be a dose-dependent effect. As we escalate doses, the risk for raising blood pressure goes up as well. Increase in blood sugar, elevation in triglycerides, electrolyte imbalances like hyperkalemia, magnesium alterations, GI upset can go along with the toxicity adverse effect profile. Some rare ones like tremor, gingival hyperplasia, those have all been associated with the use of cyclosporine. Again, there's an extremely long list of potential adverse effects with cyclosporine. One last one I did want to mention specifically is renal impairment. So as far as monitoring goes, you know, we're obviously going to want to look at renal function, electrolytes I mentioned, concentrations of the drug, certainly, and particularly if we adjust doses or we know there's been a period of non-adherence or something's changed with the medication that we're using, or if we change other medications that may interact with cyclosporin. If we change the timing or how we're taking the medication, that might be another situation where we might have our alarm bells going off saying, hey, you know, maybe we should potentially check a level here because the patient isn't taking it as we thought they have historically been there. So very, very important things to monitor, lots to monitor. LFTs are also recommended. Obviously, with potential increase in blood sugars, we may periodically monitor A1C, for example, lipid levels, you know, with that increased risk of elevating triglycerides. That's going to need to be checked out periodically. So plenty to monitor with cyclosporin in addition to those drug levels or trough concentrations. And those levels are, I would say, are typically going to be more important in using this medication for organ transplantation than potentially for like rheumatoid arthritis or psoriasis. However, I will say it is something that needs to be paid attention to, and we do not want to put patients into toxic levels for sure, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more after the break here as far as drug interactions go. But again, I want to emphasize this is one of those drugs that should just ring bells in your head as far as consistent administration and giving the same medication, okay? So different formulations of cyclosporin are going to have varying degrees of bioavailability. And so if you ever get in a situation where you see somebody switching from one formulation to another, we've got to check those drug levels. We got to make sure everybody's on board with what's going on. Now, likely it's going to be an experienced physician making that change if there needs to be a change made for some reason. However, we want to make sure that everybody is on the same page and that we're doing this intentionally and we're monitoring any transition very, very closely. All right, so let's take that quick break and let's wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like NAPLEX, pharmacotherapy, ambulatory care, the psychiatric exam, definitely go check out meded101.com/store, STORE. If you're a healthcare professional just looking to pick up clinical practice pearls, we've got a free Audible book that you can definitely take advantage of. If you've never tried Audible before, again, you can go check out our book on drug interactions, book on, you know, just clinical pearls and case studies, pharmacotherapy, or the thrill of the case. All those links are at meded101.com/store under our Audible book section. Follow that link, snag your first book for free there. And if you want to continue on with Audible membership, you can do that, but you do not have to pay a dime. You can cancel it and get that 6, 8, 10-hour book absolutely for free there. So, again, all those resources, meded101.com/store, STORE. All right, so wrapping up drug interactions, we are going to have a pretty similar drug interaction profile with tacrolimus. So CYP3A4 inhibitors are going to raise concentrations of cyclosporin. Probably the one I at least alert patients more so to is grapefruit juice. So that is something that they could just pick up on their own, not be paying attention or forget they were educated about it, and start drinking it, and it can significantly raise concentrations of cyclosporine. If you're a healthcare professional trying to monitor these patients, maybe your primary care, managing, you know, hypertension or, you know, an infection or something else, there's lots of different drugs that inhibit CYP3A4, azole antifungals, even drugs like amlodipine or alprazolam, erythromycin, clarithromycin. All those drugs can potentially raise the concentration of cyclosporine and potentially put them into an area where they're becoming toxic because those drug levels go up too high. On the flip side, inducers, phenytoin, carbamazepine, rifampin, we've got to be aware if we've got a patient on immunosuppressive agents, organ transplantation, and obviously on cyclosporine, those drugs that are inducers can lower drug concentrations. Live vaccines, I discussed a little bit further in the tacrolimus podcast, so you might want to go check that out. Echinacea, I mentioned as well. Nephrotoxicity is important with cyclosporine, and we can have those additive effects from other agents, NSAIDs, in, you know, combination with diuretics, in combination with ACE inhibitors. Those can all raise the risk of renal impairment and potentially add on to the effects of cyclosporine. Antibiotics, I think of vancomycin, aminoglycosides, those can have that effect as well. In addition to potential renal effects, ACE inhibitors, ARBs, could potentially exacerbate the hyperkalemic effect from cyclosporine. Obviously, any other drug that can raise potassium levels, like spironolactone, can have that effect as well. Cyclosporine also does some inhibitory effects on CYP3A4 itself. So drugs that are broken down by CYP3A4, kind of the classic common example, are certain statins, lovastatin, simvastatin, atorvastatin. These are all broken down, at least in part, by CYP3A4. So cyclosporine inhibiting CYP3A4 could significantly raise the concentrations of some of those statins. So very, very important to think about all the drug interactions. Personally, as a pharmacist, if I think a new drug is going to be added, or I'm recommending a new, you know, medication or over-the-counter, I'm going to do a quick drug interaction screen, recognizing that, you know, you don't see cyclosporine, you know, unless you're in a transplant unit, you don't see cyclosporine used every day. I mean, it's not an incredibly common medication, but it is an incredibly important medication as far as drug interactions go and patient adherence and things of that nature. So very, very critical that you're playing it safe, and we are incorporating everyone in the healthcare team if a new medication is going to be started or changed, and that we're aware of the potential for drug interactions. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for today. If you enjoyed the podcast, found it helpful, definitely leave us a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Share us with a friend, colleague. Of course, go subscribe at reallifepharmacology.com and snag your free study guide there on the top 200 drugs. Absolutely no cost to you at all. If you've got comments, questions, if you think I got something wrong, which does happen from time to time, feel free to reach out to me at LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCGP, BCPS. Also, you can track me down at mededucation101@gmail.com. In addition, if you've got questions about any of the books, study materials, anything we've got there, certainly don't hesitate to reach out as well. All right, I'm going to sign off for today. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.